Hey, it's Sklar Brothers here. View from the cheap seats. This week we have an unbelievable guest. He played in the NFL, had over 10,600 yards rushing, and now he's got a great acting career. He's Thomas Q. Jones. Man, did you have fun on the show?
Man, I had a blast on this show. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah, we got super deep, man. It was early in the morning out here in the West Coast.
Man, listen,
y'all got my brain working early, man.
I'm talking issues. I'm saying, look, we got so deep, we put her butt to sleep. That's what I'm saying.
I love it.
Day to you, you're listening to Twisting the Wind with Johnny Pemberton. I'm sorry, this harmony doesn't always work the way you plan it out to be. When you plan it out to be, it's getting dark where I'm staying tonight. So bad I hit the light, grab a fucking blood crike. Crack, don't do what you want to. You're in the hotel. Get my This is Twisting the Wind. Thanks for being here. I got a new mic. This is Twisting WWW. How many W's? How many times can you double? How many times? How many times can you double it? How many times can you double it? Sir, how many times do you plan on doubling the W you've already doubled? Because there's only so many W's we can use if you don't get back to do what you did that you did that you had that you could do.
Woof. I love a good woof. Oh, what you talking about? You talking about a wolf? Oh my God, my love wolves. Also my baby leg wolves. Cause my baby don't know that the wolves is gonna eat you.
Hey everybody, welcome to Twisting See, I could use a windscreen. Do you agree? Maybe I'll just change my mic technique. A little further away. It's okay. Every day is today. Welcome back. In this one, this is twisting. See, I'm getting that spa. Should I get a wool sock out? Am I going to make more noise? This is Twisting the Wind, the most sibilant, nasal, nasty, motherfucking crank cracker in the whole business. This is the podcast. It's Twisting the Wind. It's a good one. A promise as sure as the sun, which is the slogan for Days In, which is where I am right now. Sometimes this is a rarity right now. This is rarity. I'm currently podcasting from a hotel, beautiful little hotel. Out the window is a lovely view of just a magnolia tree that's in full fucking wax bliss. I mean, the wax, the cutin, the keratin, is it cutine? The cutine, whatever the wax is on those leaves, it is, you could probably make fucking thousands of candles just from a couple scrapes. couple, just get out there. What you doing down there now, Buck? Oh, you know, I'm just scraping this mag tree, trying to make a candle out of it. Well, you know, I heard it could be done. I heard it on the radio there a couple years back when Dad was doing what Dad did, when he did what he did, when he was doing it. And,
now I'm 35 years older and I still can't manage to get any goddamn wax off this motherfucking magnolia tree. I'm sorry about that, Mama. I didn't mean to waste your time scraping on this magnolia. Magnolia. But I did hear, though, that there's a French perfumier who does think the magnolia is just the goddamn gentlest scent there is in the whole motherfucking goddamn world.
Okay, well then I guess you go ahead and keep on scraping here. So here we are, Twisting the Wind. Thanks for being here. It's a really good episode. I'm really happy right now. I mean, I could be happier technically because I could have just exercised, done a bunch of cardio, which really fucking gets my goat cracking. It gets me fucking lockstep. Is that a Nazi reference? I hope it's not. Maybe it is. That's goose step, but isn't lockstep? Oh, well, we're going to get you guys lockstep. I think that's what they say to Cub Scouts. They want to get them, yeah, they want those Cub Scouts all lined up, ready to kill, so they get them lockstep. But all that being said, pretty stoked because got some real good casts, some real good potties, got some real good potties that I did, I pre-did before being out on the road like I am right now. On the road, that's such a dumb thing to say. Yeah, it's on the road. I mean, I guess you're on the road, really. I don't know. I've never been a fan of that whole saying of on the road. Because people in the comedy community will say, hey, do you do the road? I'm like, I don't, what do you mean? What is it? What's the road? Have I performed stand-up other places? Yes. I think the road is generally, well, whatever. This is stupid. I don't want to talk about this. This is dumb. I don't like it. If I don't like it, then I don't, look here. If I don't like it, you don't like it. What I do like, I do generally enjoy this new Audio Technica mic I purchased today in Charleston, you know, Charleston, the city that's in that state. It's South Carolina. I purchased it. It's real fucking nice. It's a replacement because guess what? I brought everything. I brought the whole kit and caboodle. I brought the kit and caboodle. I got the dog and the poodle, the rat and the gnat and snack and the hoople. I got Mott and the Poople. I got bags of snack, Grouple. I got Gorp. I got Rope. I got Scorp. I got Scopes. I got Popes. I got Dopes. I got Lopes. I got Anties. Antelope and Croakers, motherfucking Jokers. I got Steve Miller Band Tokers. I've got a bunch of Hash Pokers. I've got a Downtown McBrown Hot Tub Sound Reflection Inspection Direction Deck that comes back with a bulletproof vest, Tech Step Meth Klep Keck Stack Keck. It's Keck. It's the University of Keck, Minnesota photo booth. You ought to know Kathy Lee and Hoda Soda. Had some of that. I brought all that stuff. The whole rack top tip down, hit brown, never hit ground till you hear the sound of the town clown. I got all that. I'm fucking good with that stuff. I don't have the fucking the chef's best ref kit tip test full of your wish you the best never rest Hessian hesh hest heft left crest and a microphone. Well, no, I don't have that. I have all the things I just mentioned. Should I go back through that again? I have the just kidding. I can't redo that actually. I have all those things, but I didn't bring a microphone. It's like some old Christian fable. He had everything he needed, but he didn't have the love of the baby Christ with him, so he couldn't get into the keyhole that had been constructed by the devil. So there you go. He had everything he needed, but he was missing one thing, the little match girl who lit the matches and to warm herself, and she committed suicide in the snow. But she didn't really commit suicide because she was dying, because there was no benevolence in this part of England in the winter. So she lit off her matches, and then a young Johnny Pemberton cried, reading that book, cried alone about the little match girl, because it is a sad story. Little Match Girl is a truly sad story. Like most sad stories we read as kids, probably could have been avoided, like the O. Henry tale. I don't know how the title of it is. I think it's called The Gift of the Magi, where the woman cuts her hair to buy her husband a... What did she get her husband? I forget what she got him, but he bought her a comb to comb that hair that she cut off to buy him the thing that he was going to use, that he sold to get her that comb. Maybe it wasn't like his beard. No one was buying beards back then, that's for sure. Maybe it was he sold his pipe, and she bought him like a really nice tobacco. Either way, they had two gifts they couldn't use, but it didn't matter because they loved each other, which is saccharine and kind of ridiculous, but it's true. But it's true, but also maybe just check first. Say something like, oh, darling Emily, I do love your hair, just so you know. Just today, I want to let you know, your hair, it's like my favorite thing. I know you like it a lot too, but just really, I hope you know, the hair is really good. So don't get any ideas. Not that you would get any ideas, because I'm definitely not giving you a gift that has anything to do with that, because we can't afford it. We're poor, but we're in love. So don't think, you know, that's all you have to do is he just had to do that. He just had to do that, buddy. And didn't. He sacrificed himself and she sacrificed herself. And then I guess it made their love stronger because they both realized, oh, you like me that much? Oh, shit, I like you that much too. Now we showed it because we both like pina coladas. It's just an ancient version of do you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain, right? If you don't know what that song's about, I actually found out about that song through some dude, like this dude, basically the broadest shouldered man I've ever met in my entire life. Some fucking ex-Marine. You don't say ex-Marine, you say Marine, right? Because you're never an ex-Marine. You're a Marine for life. As long as you're eating yogurt and shit, and you're a Marine for life. So don't say ex-Marine, motherfucker. Which is true. So this Marine, I was sailing with friends 12 years ago. And people, when they're out on boats, there's something about a boat that just makes people happy. It's evidenced by the names of boats. Boats always have great names because people are like, I fucking love this boat, man. I'm never happier than I'm on this boat. And almost the whole wage slavery thing almost makes sense. It really does. Being a wage slave almost makes sense. Well, sorry, a salary slave makes sense if you got a fucking nice boat you can use. So that being said, I'm out in this fucking beautiful boat marina. We're in the Bahamas. Everyone's happy. It's just good. This guy, he's wandering around. He's got wandering around. He's got a scotch in his hand, you know. It looks like a tiny scotch because he's just fucking like a... I mean, there's that word brick shithouse. But this guy is a brick shithouse. He really was. He's got a thick southern accent, like North Carolina accent. Real fucking easy to listen to. And our captain invites him aboard. Would you like to come aboard for a beer? And he gladly does because he's alone and wants some company to chew some fat on. And this guy starts to talking, and he is talking. And he is dominating the conversation. But he's got a nice voice, nice drawl. He's talking about how he works on King's Ranch, which is some fucking massive ranch in Texas, and he's just talking all this stuff. I was fun to listen to, you know. I think I was a little bit of an insolent young man at the time, so I was a little bit like, motherfucker, this guy down here, and we want to talk. We want to be stupid, funny boys. But he's talking, and he mentions how about his old lady, how like, well, you know that song, Pina Colada? It's kind of like that. And I was like, well, I don't know what that means. I guess I thought it meant like, you know, people like getting caught in the rain. Everyone loves kissing in the rain, right? If you're with your girlfriend, you haven't kissed her in the rain, maybe you should get that set up real quick soon. But he explains that song, and evidently it's about... I can't explain this fucking ultra-popular song, but I didn't know it. So it's just, there you go. It's to each his benefit, his own is with it. And he explains it, and it's basically about how these people break up. They both, one of them posts a personal ad, and the other one responds to it, not knowing it's the other person they just broke up with, which was, do you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain, and all kinds of other stuff. And he responds, and what happens is they both didn't know that each other liked the things that they did. And they're like, wow, our relationship, we're back together now, even though we both did this personal thing. And it's just, wow, I didn't know you liked those very specific kind of boring things. I do too. And that's the gift of the Magi. And that, wow. This all came out of me about to tell you guys how I brought all my stuff to record the podcast, but I didn't bring a fucking microphone. And here we are listening to this me talking with lots of sibilance because I'm recording on it's a good microphone. It's good. It just needs a windscreen. It's going to be real great. It's going to add to the collection. I'm going to start collecting mics. I'm also going to start collecting little boom boxes. I was in Radio Shack today. God damn, I love fucking Radio Shack. If you don't like Radio Shack, I don't know. I just don't get it. Radio Shack is like beating up a dork, beating up a nerd, a dork, beating up. You don't beat up the dork. He doesn't need it. Just how can you not like Radio Shack? How can you not? It's just so good. There's just so much crap there, so much useless crap. And if you ever need to convert, you don't need to wrongly, inappropriately convert the voltage or the whatever type of impedance you're working with, or impedance, or I think they say impedance because it sounds like impotence, which is like impotence, like impotent, like limp dick, like need a fucking see Alice. That's why they say it that way. But if you want to change the flow of your electric rate on something cable wise or build something with soldering, you gotta go to Radio Shack, man. Radio Shack's the only place. There's no other place you can get that kind of stuff you don't ever need. So from now on, this podcast is being brought to you by Radio Shack. Radio Shack. Not many radios, not a shack. But if you were like to build a radio in a shack, we're the only place you can get what you need to do what you want to do. Radio Shack. Ham radio enthusiast guaranteed. Thank you so much for listening to Twisting the Wind. This is a great episode. It's really fucking dynamic. It's hot. It's sparkling. I'm really happy with it. Got two other ones coming around the bend that real fuck their fucking smokestacks. Please rate and review the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please download it on people's computers who you don't know. Just get it out there. Push it around, okay? Because sometimes good things aren't. Sometimes like a storm exists in one spot and they don't know about it in the other spot because it's, even though it's gone its way, it's, you know, it's like that. That's a classic analogy from the American West. So yeah, spread the word if you like it. Also, please go to feralaudio.com and click on the Twisting the Wind page and click on Amazon, our Amazon portal, and buy the shit you need for your life. Buy stuff. I buy stuff. I bought a new book. I bought James Howard Kunstler's new book, The History of the Future. I bought two of them by accident on Amazon.com using the Feral Audio portal. I'm fucking sticking my finger in my own butthole. And that's an old saying, the snake biting its tail. So it's not biting, it's like kissing it and giving it a little love kiss that actually is a form of money. So do that. Go to Amazon.com through Feral Audio. If you're at Amazon.com and you didn't go through the Twisting the Wind page on the FeralAudio.com page, I don't know who the fuck you are. I don't know who you are if you're not doing that to me. If you're not doing what I want you to do to me. And fifthly, donate some money. If you don't want to engage in Amazon because they're a multinational corporation that is like Nestle and probably will eventually bankrupt the modern world due to an overexpansion of territory and influence, much like Walmart has done with our food system. Wow, that was a lot of information. If you don't want to do that, just donate. We've got some great donations coming in here. I really appreciate it, and it helps because this is a genuine, high-quality, high-definition audio product that you're getting for fucking free, motherfucker. When I say motherfucker, I mean it in the James Brown Richard Pryor sense where it's like, he's a motherfucker. Like, I'd say I have J.J. Cale, his music. If I was someone talking about J.J., I'd say, oh, man, J.J. is a motherfucker. Meaning like, oh, God, he tear it up. Meaning like, oh, God, he rip it down. Meaning like, oh, God, he blow the fucking roof off, constantly showing up to the scene with the ceiling missing. So you're a motherfucker for listening, but you're a real motherfucker for not donating and listening. You got it? Okay. Okay. Enjoy this podcast with Clay and Witt. Oh, I said the guests before the guests. Pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
We're ripping.
Nice.
Ripping and rolling. Strolling and holing.
What's the shirt all about?
This is from Addict Records, the record label.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like Midwestern, Milwaukee, noise, electronic, non-dance dance music. I don't know how you describe it, but it's really good. It's good stuff.
That's tight.
That's cool, dude.
And you have a Piss Jeans shirt on, which is a punk band.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have on a white men's short sleeve button up that can be...
I think it's actually a pregnant woman's shirt.
Why do you think that?
Because it feels very like extra blousey right here.
But it's buttoning from the correct side, if I do believe it.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Okay. I believe it is a men's side. Yeah, so.
Well, that's good to know.
It's good to know.
That makes me feel better.
Clay Tatum, Whitmer, Alexander Thomas Jenkins?
Jenkins, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to have you guys here.
Dude, thanks, John.
You guys are
bros
spot.
From way back when, right?
Yeah, dude.
You guys did Deep Nights together?
Deep Nights?
Isn't that the club night you guys ran in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, Deep Nights. Yeah, man.
Deep Nights.
We do Deep Nights, which is a Deep great Nights. Little club
also, show. How did you guys know each other because you grew up together.
Yeah, me and Clay met in first day of sixth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah.
That's a good time. First day of sixth grade. Okay. Was that middle school where you were, or was that still?
Yeah, that was middle school.
So that was the first
year. That was the first middle school.
That was basically also known as the worst year of school.
No.
It was the best.
Not for me. Not for Witt. Witt kind of hit a stride.
Really? Well, I moved to a new town when I was 10, and it was awful.
What's 10? Fourth grade?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade, okay.
For me, it was. My birthday's in May.
Okay.
And I got picked on a whole lot.
What's like, the new town?
It was Gulf Shores or Gulf Orange Shores. Beach, which me and Claire from this place called Pleasure Island. And on Pleasure Island, there's Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. There's two elementary schools, and then everybody goes to the same middle school and high school.
Got it.
I went to Orange Beach Elementary School, which was a really brand new school. There was like my fifth grade class shared its classroom with fourth graders because it was so small.
Wow.
And there, I think there was only like maybe 30 kids in fifth grade, but people picked on me a lot.
What do they say?
They just call me gay.
Really?
Yeah, because
they call you faggot.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But sometimes I don't know what the number.
No, they call me everything. I mean, they would draw. They would build crucifixes, and then when I walk into class in the morning, they would all hiss at me and pull up their crucifixes.
Yeah, I can't imagine this.
What
at
the
all.
Fuck? Where does that come from? Is that from a movie or something?
I don't know, man. I mean, it all started. It was my fault.
Why? What'd you do?
Well. Okay, so...
Did you make a bad impression?
No. So we were watching the sex ed vid, like, the first few weeks of school.
Right.
And I wanted the cool guy, or the bully in school, and his name was Jimmy, to think I was cool.
What's Jimmy's last name?
Jimmy Avery.
There you go.
Look him up. So I wanted him to think I was cool, and they were talking about how you can get boners at any time.
Wow.
And the sex ed thing, and so I, like, whispered into Jimmy's ear that I had a boner. And he was like, "You're gay," and then so
and
forever.
It. Yeah, it's done.
I was gay for that whole year,
what
and then when all the Orange Beach kids mixed with the Gulf Shores kids in middle school, I made a lot of new friends.
Because you had a clean slate.
Yeah, had a clean slate, a second
straight
clean
slate.
You know, it kind of doesn't. It kind of doesn't make sense when I think about it. Because when I was in fifth grade in Gulf Shores, me and Jimmy were friends.
When you were in fourth grade.
Was it fourth grade?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I remember, like, it was either fifth or fourth.
Right. Well, no, because Jimmy went to Orange Beach. And in fourth and fifth grade.
But I have memories of him in Gulf Shores.
But, man. I mean, I was there.
That's true.
With Jimmy. No, but Jimmy was the type of guy who like forced me to be his friend. Did you ever have one of those?
Yeah, but this is the guy who called you, who was responsible for all that misery, and he forced you to be his friend?
Yeah, he would force me to be his friend and like make me wrestle him.
Oh, okay.
And then like act like I was winning. And then he would call me gay and like...
Think he's gay?
Nah, he's in jail probably. Okay.
Yeah.
But
I'm sorry, he's gay.
He
jail or prison?
Prison, I think.
Prison, for sure.
But he...
Man.
He caused a lot of pain. But then it all went away. Sixth grade, it kind of all ended. And by the time we were getting into high school, Jimmy like had changed a lot and like wanted... He was kind of... Not, I wouldn't say cool, but he was cool with everybody. Like,
right.
He didn't pick on people anymore.
He was down.
Yeah, I think he had kind of gotten served by some older kids and kind
he
of
got checked.
Yeah, like realized like I shouldn't be doing that. And, yeah.
So you guys met in sixth grade back when you were coming out of this gay period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my gay period. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, right. And Clay, the way that I mean, I knew that he skated. We had a his locker was right underneath mine. And, yeah, so that, bam, hit it off. Yeah.
Simple as that.
Back then, all that it took to be friends was, like, you'd look at kids' skate shoes and see if they were skate shoes, and then if they were, you could be friends with them.
What also,
if,
I did, oh. It also helped that I put logos on my locker. Mm-hmm.
What kind of logos?
I did blind skateboards, which I don't know why. It's just anything that has to do with skateboarding I put on.
Yeah.
I probably had a fucking DC logo on there.
Well, back then...
Alien Workshop?
Oh, yeah.
I think the logo was too complicated for
Bird?
Me to really...
But back... Birdhouse
for sure had to be.
Too complicated?
Because it was the... Because they didn't have one set logo. They just had, like, maybe an alien head.
Yeah.
But if you drew that, it'd be like...
Oh, you drew
remember
them?
Back in the,
yeah, Clay would draw them.
But
yeah,
you draw them on a piece of paper or draw them on the locker?
I'd draw them on the locker with a permanent marker.
Would you get in trouble for that?
I didn't get in trouble. Well, maybe I did, but no. It's just
for
like...
Drawing
Clay didn't
the
get
locker?
In trouble. He got to be in special classes. So
yeah,
like,
I was
he
in,
got
like,
special
I was in, like,
treatment.
Small classes. And,
really?
Like, yeah, because I just didn't... It's just school was something I did not care for.
When
one
we got,
bit.
And he's always been really intelligent, but he just didn't try.
Yeah.
And when we were in high school, teachers would like get assigned to all the students who didn't give a fuck, like Clay. And I ended up sort of becoming friends with one of those teachers. Her name was Miss Jones. She was my newspaper teacher, and we were kind of like buds. Mm-hmm. She would always complain to me about Clay and how
really?
He just refused
yeah,
to do work
to,
at all.
She would have to pull me out of class and go like, Clay, you have a thing coming up. Are you doing anything about it? I go, I'm sorry. It's just I can't.
Why do you nothing. Say you can't? What's
because the... I just don't want to.
Oh, so why didn't you want to?
Because it involves work, and I just don't want to do it. I don't want to be here. I want to be out... In the New York City being a gutter punk, that's all I care about.
Really?
I guess,
when did that get in your head?
Early on.
Sixth grade.
I just stopped caring.
How did you find out about gutter punks?
I found out through Witt's older brother, like, type of, like...
That crew.
People,
there
that
was a crew,
I mean,
of people, like, 3-5 years right. older than us.
They were GPs?
Clay's like, older brother was friends with a lot of them, but he wasn't really one of them, who was, like... They were into punk and like the skate punk kind of subculture. And there was like a Black Flag sticker on a streetlight and like that somebody named Hayden Calloway put up.
Jesus.
And,
Hayden
like,
Calloway.
Yeah. And then
Hayden Calloway's been over here.
Yeah.
Oh shit, there's a Black Flag sticker on lap post. Like Hayden's been around here.
You know Hayden's been there. And
Hayden,
then
what you doing putting a Black Flag sticker on mama's post there for? You know that. You know she's gonna clean that off tomorrow with a scraper.
Dude, I think it's still there.
It probably is still there.
It survived like 4 hurricanes.
Wow.
And there was like a dead Kennedy's logo carved into a cement. Like
dead
sidewalk
Kennedy's.
And it was also before like the internet is around.
Oh yeah,
it's a thing, but for us it wasn't like a thing.
It wasn't the communication tool. It was like
so,
a thing you
yeah
maybe
yeah.
got an article from
but it
that
wasn't even that
server.
I mean, I feel like I'm basically the way that the music thing happened was we really liked all that music. It was
right.
really easy, so we all played music, me and Clay and our friends, and so we would goof around and play songs together and come up with like different bands all the time. And then my older brother and his friends and like our older friends ended up getting cars, and then they would take us down to Pensacola, Florida.
Hell yeah.
Which is where like music
shows.
Was and shows, and we would yeah. go to shows and go to get CDs and
what was the first band name you guys had?
Two foot nothing.
It was like a ska band that we wanted to put together. Never happened. But I have a shitload of logos.
We learned one Guttermouth song.
Oh my god, man! That was an era.
That was the guitar.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But then it was 2 foot. I mean, I can tell you all of our band names.
Yeah, Dysfunctionals
is another
2 foot
one.
Nothing. The Dysfunctionals. The Derelicts.
That's a real band name, isn't it? The Derelicts. It's got to be.
Yeah, well, now I think it is, but we didn't. We had no idea.
Them, which was a Van Morrison. But right. We did. There was periods in between each,
or
and it
X's
stood
really.
For something. It was X's. Yeah, but.
T H E M.
Yeah, it was T X H X E X M, and stood for like a bunch of different things.
Thexamine.
Yeah. And we actually, that's the only thing that we recorded too. We actually have like a song
called Pledge Now.
Called Pledge Now. That I sing.
It's about not wanting to pledge allegiance.
It's not wanting to pledge.
Okay.
Hey, now.
I thought I had my phone on, so I thought you guys were going to call me. But I'm going to turn it off now. There you go.
Okay.
Because I knew you were going to get lost, because everyone gets lost coming here. THM, who else?
Other bands. Well, then, I wanted to be more into emo.
Okay.
So I started a band called Say Your Last.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah.
But and you weren't in this band,
Clay? I was. Well, here's the thing. I did not want to. I just was like, hey, listen, if this is a new thing that you want to try out, go for it, pal. I just want nothing to do with
it. What's your name again? What's your name?
Clay.
Clay.
Tatum.
And your name is?
Whitmer Thomas.
Great. This is Twisting the Wind with those two guys.
Oh, hey, what's up, pal? Hey. I forgot that this
got
is
it, yeah. Thing.
Okay.
Just doing a station identification pause breaker. So, yeah, you let him be. You let him have a...
So I went and did that.
Go find yourself.
I just got my heart broken. I went and did that.
Yeah.
We wrote a few sad emo songs.
I don't want to sign another.
No, one of them.
How's
I
it
did.
Go?
I hope that this is over. This feeling is gone. Or something like that.
Man, no. Emo. I forgot. I always forget about emo. How distinctive and powerful it was for such a long period of time.
I have pictures of me singing.
God, did you have like purple bangs or anything like that, or
no.
What?
No,
I didn't. We never got into any of the like the fashion stuff.
No.
But then I think it's because we didn't have access to it because we were in the dirt south. But and then Say Your Last. That music is pretty boring to play.
Okay,
and so Say Your Last transformed into like a metal hardcore mosh kind of band. And that's when Clay was like, yeah, I'm down with this. I'll be in this. And so Clay came and joined in.
I was just a lonely punk. I didn't have a...
punk.
I was like, no one is like wants to go to shows with me because this is just a damn shame. I want to have buddies again. And you want me to play bass? I don't play bass, but fucking sure.
Played guitar.
I played guitar throughout. I'm a guitar player, but like I'll play bass because I want friends again. Please, let me be in your band.
So, but then that band was cool, and we went on tour and stuff. And
man, how old were you at this point?
We're like 15 to 16.
Young guys out in the world.
Yeah. But we made a splash.
Made a splash.
Because like Pensacola had a lot of emo bands at the time, but they didn't have any like heavier bands. Mm-hmm. And so we were like the first heavy band that you can like dance to.
Which was what you called at this point?
Say Your Last. Which is like your last words.
Say Your Last Words.
Yeah. And it was a lot of...
Really?
And chum, 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 chum.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Chum, 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 so sort of like...
It's just metalcore. Yeah. That's all it is.
It's really heavy.
High kicks?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Windmills?
Yeah. High kicks, windmills.
Fucking windmills.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember seeing that shit for the first time. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? That guy's wearing short shorts, and he's like dancing with his twin.
Man, did like I was so into it.
Short shorts?
Well, I was into like basketball shorts. I mean, like if you're following my evolution here, it was pop punk ska to gutter punk, and going like I have had enough of this junk. Go to metalcore, and then this weird tough guy hardcore I was really into, and so that's like the first time I started dressing the part. And
because it was easy to wear basketball shorts.
It's just like a basketball shorts and a terror T-shirt.
And a what T-shirt?
Terror.
Okay.
So,
which is like you're ready to fight, but you're not going to fight,
right? And then, so that was a rough patch in my life.
And it was also right when Clay had to start wearing glasses.
Okay.
And yeah. So it really it was ruining his tough guy image.
Yeah, I couldn't be listening to Madball with my four eyes.
Madball. Oh God. Can I backtrack and ask you again how did you get into gutter punk exactly?
Because I think that's okay, a very so distinctive it's thing. What it is. I mean,
I remember a life changing day.
Okay.
Of music.
Maybe you remember better than
probably. I mean, Wit was probably the one that got me into it.
Okay.
Well, no, me and Clay already liked like Blink-182 and stuff when we met. We
that's
liked
not, that's no,
no, no, no, no, no. That's like in the pop.
We just like Blink-182, Green Day,
Abba,
Pennywise,
right?
Like SoCal punk.
Yeah,
stuff.
SoCal.
And then I remember going to shows. We got into other stuff, Strike Anywhere, Good Riddance, which are still kind of pop punk.
Bad Religion.
Kind of stuff. Bad Religion. Yeah, stuff like that.
And then we would see like This Bike is a Pipe Bomb, which is like a local. Right.
Yeah, that was a great band that we'd see. This Bike and Against Me were like huge. Kind of local.
Can I tell you a little side story here real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a kid, a student at Florida State University where I went to college, who had a This Bike is a Pipe Bomb sticker on his bike.
Oh, classic story. I forgot that we're from the same region, mm-hmm. or when you went to college.
I think you know the end of the story is that it was parked outside the library. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, someone calls up a fucking bomb threat.
Did you know this guy?
No, I don't know. He was like friends.
Because
with
I remember
who
when that happened, because it was like a big thing.
It happened a
bomb
lot.
Scare because because there's a sticker that says this bike is a pipe bomb on a bike that's parked.
Hey, I threw it on my bike.
Everybody had that.
God,
on their bike.
How that's so amazing.
But was that post 9/11?
That was pre 9/11.
Oh, was it?
Ooh. I think this was eighth.
You know
grade.
What? It might have been right after 9/11. That's why it was. So
I know we got
touchy.
Into this bike. Right pre 9/11, and then 9/11. Yeah, because
so
we were in eighth grade.
Back to the
We were into all those bands,
right?
The kind of bands that would play around in our hometown, and then Kazaa happened.
Yep,
it was there like it Napster is. Post right
oh,
after
right,
Napster.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
And Clay had faster internet at his parents' office.
I was a computer whiz.
Yeah, 512. And he got Kazaa, and then. It just changed the game.
Also, I found a CD. My mom like came to LA. Long story. I found my old Crass CD I had.
Ooh.
And it was like I designed the Crass logo with a stencil font or whatever on this CD. And I'm like, this is fucking awesome. I can't believe I had this from when I was little. I popped it in. All of it was Subhuman songs.
Subhuman.
I had no idea.
Oh, really?
When I was little, because Kazaa... Sometimes they would fuck with
mislabel.
You, and they would just mislabel all the songs. So I got a whole Subhuman album thinking it was Crass the whole time.
Wow.
I took no. So.
Well, yeah, so like Kazaa in eighth grade gave us the ability to kind of look up any music that we had seen the logo for the band for just around town or around at shows
try
or
out
at record
free.
Stores.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and so we got into everything. And it was like we, in eighth grade, were really into it was like George Bush, 9/11, so everything political.
Yeah.
It was like anti-flag and
anti-flag,
like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then we got into punk core records.
And
which
then punk core,
like,
which is...
At the time was like Casualties and...
Lower Class Brats and The Virus and
the
Dvotchkas. Now there's a band called just Dvotchkas, but this was
not
a different
soon.
Band.
Yeah. We also have a website, too, that's still up about our old band.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's the website?
It's thempunks, spelt with an X, PUNX, tripod.com. So if you want to surf
Holy
over there,
shit.
Yeah,
I'm
you
give
us
right
a whirl.
Now, I'm going to try right now.
Find us.
Yeah.
Our internet's fucking terrible here for some stupid reason.
But that was really fun. Yeah. The gutter punk kind of like classic punk with mohawks was super exciting for us because we got to look punk.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With like spikes and things.
But is that gutter punk? Is the mohawk? I guess.
I don't really know.
It's like
gutter
punk,
yeah.
Drunk punk.
Like it's.
It's not
drunk punk.
It's definitely not.
It's definitely drunk punk is kind of that was a
it's
casualty.
Definitely not like crust punk.
Right.
God, is there really a distinction between
crust
punk,
is
crust
like
punk, and gutter
punk?
Punk?
I feel like yeah.
Like what's crust punk?
Someone that has a choking victim tattoo on their knuffle
and like a
dog.
What is that? And a dog with
and
them.
And a dog with them.
Like a bandana around there.
Their dog is named Zero. And like yeah. They hop trains. And they
play acoustic punk songs.
Yeah.
I mean, right now they're into like folk. But back in the day, they used to listen to Oz Rotten or some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, now they're into like Devendra Bernhardt and
yeah,
such.
Right, sure, yeah.
There's a lot of options now if you're a crust punk. There are so many options. That whole indie folk scene is just giving way to so many options for young people now.
Keep going to Walmart so your parents can wire you money.
What?
That's true. Well, you know, we lived out here, and our friend Jeremy, the guy who does
jazz.
Sound, he did a thing.
Jazz.
Yeah. When he was like 18 or 19, he started hopping trains with all these people. Mm-hmm. And then when he lived in downtown at the same time, like he lived like two floors down from me, and all of his crust punk, like, train hopper friends would stay with him, and so we got a...
They stunk.
They
smelled really bad.
Smelled real bad.
Yeah.
They
had a lot of dogs.
They got a lot of dogs because died. When they were busking their dog, it would give them... They'd make more money because people felt bad for the dog. That's the reason they had the dog.
Jesus,
Yeah, by then we had kind of gotten out of it. Yeah. We're definitely... Definitely, I mean, mm-hmm. recently, I feel like we reverted back to more like what we... originally liked in middle school.
Yeah, I listen to Less Than Jake every day.
No, you don't. No. Oh my god.
I did listen to Less Than Jake the other day though.
Less Than Jake.
I forgot how repetitive they were.
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend in college who was in my French class, and this guy was a frat guy. I think he was in the Jewish frat, so not really a frat, like sort of like a club almost, because those guys were such dorks.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, they're just dorks. But this guy was the number one Less Than Jake fan. He had probably 15 Less Than Jake t-shirts. This guy liked Less Than Jake so much.
Ska is still alive in Florida.
Florida has a fucking black hole for the love of ska.
It's
it
in
really
Orlando
does.
Right now.
Orlando is strong. Because there's something about ska. Ska is the one music that is just, it's devoid of negativity.
Yeah.
And so it's perfect for Disneyland. It's like the kind of thing where you can play. Like, it's punk tangential.
That's why it's so in so many Nickelodeon movies in the 90s.
It's such a weird thing, like the ska band, because you can be silly, you can wear suspenders and have crazy hair, and you can be like a punk, but with none of the unsightly, unseemly aspects of punk.
It's
so funny. I never thought about it that way. It really is that way, isn't it?
There's this kid named Raleigh who moved to our hometown from Michigan, where ska, I guess, also was huge. Or it was a huge part of his life. And we were so into metal and like hardcore in high school. And this is when he moved there that he was so bummed out all the time because we were his best friends.
Listen, dude, I used to listen to Catch 22 all the time. I can relate to you right now with it, but I just don't want to listen to the damn thing.
Yeah. And he'd always be like, he'd go, everything in Alabama, you guys are also like hardcore and like tough. He sounded so bizarre to us back then because we were like, we sounded like, well,
hi, we're gonna
try to have fun. So the first Michigan accent we hear is, hello, my name is Raleigh. But he's like, everything in Michigan is so much better. Instead of windmills and spin kicks in the mush pit, people just do pyramids and are proud of each other.
They build a pyramid
out of their body.
You go to a ska show and you do cute things.
Yeah.
He goes, you go to a ska show and the girls there are much cooler about sex and they all have vibrators and they will show them to you.
And they're all
there's
also,
a lot of dimensions about them.
They also are all overweight, aren't they?
Yeah. And he was just so stoked on Michigan at
Michigan
all
ska.
Guess what he did? He moved from Gulf Shores to Orlando.
And now he's in a ska band.
God.
Yeah, because he saw Les and Jake there, and he fell in love with
the
girl.
And they're called the Destroyers of the Universe.
He's doing it right.
He's
doing it right, man.
Pretty sure he's happy.
He has a dynamite attitude. I know that.
Yeah. Oh, man, you got to have that attitude.
Yeah. God, and he dresses exactly how you imagine him to.
Right. Name it. Describe
tight,
it.
A tight, like, baby blue shirt with like a logo on it,
right?
Like Johnny Cupcake or something.
Johnny Cupcakes or something like that, and big ass plaid
shorts,
almost pants shorts,
dickies, like big old dickies,
like just baggy plaid, almost like long shorts,
right?
Like
at Ross.
Converses and socks.
Socks,
bleached hair.
Yeah, you gotta have the bleached hair. You gotta have like a cool necklace with some like metal beads, maybe.
Yeah.
God, he stuck to it. He rolled with it.
Just thinking about that stuff, it's just such a blast from the past. Yeah. It's weird to think about. Then the Specials, their album cover is them just getting completely fucked up on just drinking and smoking. How it went from being a thing where it's like lower middle class suburbanites in England getting fucked up and doing drugs with guys from the West Indies to the cleanest thing in the squeaky clean.
Yeah, if you watch those, like that weird ska, early 80s, late 70s, all the music videos from that era that were on MTV, they're also like punk rock and dark,
total
and dingy, and everybody looks so cool. And then you watch the videos from 10 years later, and it's like Goldfinger
in
their parents' garage.
I would listen to like Suicide Machines and like be like, this is awesome. And I keep on seeing Specials come up. I'm like, what the heck is this band? I don't play them. And I go, this is not ska.
Yeah.
This is ska, man.
It's weird how that, like, it just fucking deteriorated after that.
It really changed.
Yeah. Did Operation Ivy.
Well, that still holds up for
that's
me.
A weird sort of window.
It really, like, that's a band that I liked when I was really little, and then just still never, like it's just still great. Still, it's,
didn't you have a Lookout Records shirt on the other day? Yeah.
Yeah. Hopeless Records just bought Lookout Records, and they're, like, I think re-releasing all of their catalog.
Who was even on them? On the Lookout
It Records? Was Operation Ivy and Green Day. Are the
two
bands.
Right, it was Green Day, okay.
But then, after high school, like, I moved to LA. Me and Clay lived in Savannah for almost a year, and I lived out here.
Why'd you go to Savannah?
Here's the damnedest thing. I did not want to go to college.
Right.
It was a thing that, like, I never wanted to do. And my mom, she never, like, finished college, so it was a thing. She wanted someone to, like, finish college. And I was like, I'm not going to go to college. She was like, go to this art school. And so, like, I applied for
it. SCAD?
To SCAD, yeah. Right. And I applied for it, and I was like, okay, they're not going to let me in. It's going to be awesome. I can fucking move out to wherever. And they give me a scholarship.
Wow.
And so it's like something you can't turn down. And then I went there, and then I fucking dropped out.
Did you like it at all?
No, I did not care for it one bit. Because it was just a continuation of school, which I already was fed up with in the second grade.
What did you hate? When did you first start hating school?
Second grade, probably. Or probably from the get-go, man. I didn't like... I was like a very quiet kid.
Okay.
I think my mom was like telling me like I didn't say a word for the longest time. She got worried. Yeah. I was just always kept to myself, and then... Just like
school forced you to not do that.
School forced me to hang out with other people, and I was just like, I don't care for this. And that got in my head early, and then from there on out, just didn't care.
So, did you ever think there's going to be any ramifications to that?
No, not at all.
Because when I was a kid, I was always think you couldn't possibly skip school. Even though I hated school, you had to go, and I had to at least try to get decent grades, otherwise I'd get in trouble and things would be bad.
That's true. I did have that. I didn't want my dad to fucking hit me or anything.
He would hit you if you had bad grades?
Well, you just hit me all the time. It's a damn shame.
Would that give you real beatings?
Saw it all the time.
Really?
No, it'd be like,
he wasn't.
Clay, pick up these sticks. And Clay would go like, I don't want to pick up these sticks. And he'd go, what? Clay would go, I don't want to pick up sticks. And he'd just go,
yeah, it's like a clobber.
Just a clobber.
Like a, just like solid to the ground,
you know,
whack.
I never understood like the belt thing where you just like, you bend someone over, you take off your belt, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to hit you. Here you go. 1, 2, 3, hit. With me, it was always like, it was always a quick hit. But, you know, but I don't want to say, it wasn't that bad. It was fine. My dad's a great guy.
Do you feel like that's because you don't think it was that bad because of other people you knew had it worse, or just because it wasn't that bad?
It just wasn't that bad. Oh, my dad was a great guy. He just hit sometimes. Who cares? He's from the South. That's what you expect.
Right.
But I did master the art of getting D's. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, so getting just enough.
I've never failed. I've never like.
Got, okay.
I never made like AB honor roll or anything, but I never failed. So I rode like that CD all the way out.
When did people in school start thinking you were maybe special?
When I was in fucking special ed.
But it wasn't because... It was because he was so quiet and, like, you know, and didn't refuse to work. And so, like, it kind of... There was no choice but for teachers to be like, all right, we're going to put you in the... You pass these tests, and it doesn't say that you're technically special.
Right.
But
They just because they felt like you would ruin it for the rest of them if you were in the.
Well, I don't know what it was. Like, they gave me an IQ test and they like showed it to my mom. It was like, hey, here's the average line. I was either like a little below or like maybe like right on the average line. So I was like, there's nothing like wrong with them. Mm-hmm. He just fucking doesn't care. and I just didn't. And so they just put me in. They thought that if they put me in a special class. That I was like, they did so many experiments on me in the fourth grade. They put me in a smart class, really, really smart class. And I'm like, wait, I've been smart this whole time? This is fucking crazy.
Right.
But I think what it was is if I was put in that environment, if I try to keep up with everyone else, they thought I could, and maybe I can rise above. It'd be like a weird experiment. But
you showed them.
But I went there, and they told me to do something, and I didn't do it. So it's the same fucking trip. So
I got to go into one of those classes with Clay and Jeremy. I had in eighth grade, I got two classes that were special classes because one of my teachers at the time, I thought, said something really racist. But I was thinking about it now, and if anything, it's like not racist. Mm-hmm. There's a black kid in our school named Anthony, and he was like, one wearing shoes in class. And my teacher goes, stop. You got to wear shoes. That's white trash. And he goes, I'm black. And she goes, it's black trash. And I remember going, and I thought she was like mean. Right. So I remember going to my mom and be like, she said this kid was black trash. And she like got me taken out of her class. And it messed up my whole schedule to where
that was
I got.
Probably during your political punk stage.
Yeah, I was when I had political punk.
Black trash.
And I got put in two special classes with Clay. And
that's the funniest thing. Imagine that conversation. Yeah. You gotta think that teacher's probably an idiot. She's probably an idiot, like just about an idiot talking to an idiot right there. Yeah. You know, she's a dummy.
Yeah.
That's why trash now. Like to think she was dumb enough to say that to a black kid to call him, say that's white trash. The kid's like, not even offended, just, I'm black. Well, then it's black trash. We're just a bunch of idiots talking to each other in that situation. Just chewing the fat of their lives in a moment in history.
The special classes were the easiest thing in the world, though.
Really?
They were
like,
blast,
teachers
man.
Would basically like give you massages while you took a test. Like,
here's the thing, man.
They loved the special kids.
I always loved drawing, and every time they saw me draw, they were like, good for you, Clay. You rock. That's awesome. I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool.
Good for me.
But like, so you kind of got into drawing.
But we didn't get as special treatment in that as our friend Jeremy did.
Right.
Like, everybody was so afraid of his mom because his mom would, like, throw fits at teachers if they tried to fail Jeremy.
Really? Yeah.
So Jeremy was literally allowed to bring a pillow to class, go in the corner and lay down and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Man. Whereas if me and Clay, like, did our work and then put our heads down, the teacher would flip out on us.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Jeremy just had no idea how good he had it.
You ever had kids like that?
I don't even know. I don't seem to remember anything like that. But there's also things that probably happened that I don't know all the sides of.
Right.
So who knows what was going on. I mean, there was definitely a girl I knew who people used to make fun of her because she lived in a trailer. And it's like, I think back on that now, I'm like, God, what an unbelievably cruel thing to do. And to even like, God, like fucking terribly cruel. And also, who cares for one?
Right.
Wow. She lives in it's just amazing. It's kind of like, it's hard to even think about older times when it was just, it was like, I don't know, something about those. Cause everyone's so stupid. You're a kid. You just have no fucking clue about anything. Right. You don't have any. The ramifications of anything don't make any sense. At least for me, they didn't. And I didn't have anything I was saying was just repeating from something I heard from someone else or someone that was just as stupid as me or some adult who's saying something they don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
Just like,
yeah, it was hard. I don't remember a lot of teasing and like people getting made fun of after middle school. Really?
Really?
Yeah, that wasn't really.
I think I remember that.
I think there was like so much like, diversity as far as wealth went. There was like really rich people, really poor people, just middle class people, and everybody's interests were all the same because there wasn't really that much to do.
Mm-hmm.
So like even though musically we liked specific things, it was hard to find things to rebel against, like, because part of us would be like, we're punks, we're not rednecks, fuck rednecks. But then the rednecks would be like, hey, y'all want to go in my truck and we can go mudding? We'd be like, yeah, that, okay, that sounds actually really fun. We should do that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I always had in my mind in high school it was punks versus rednecks. Mm-hmm. That was the struggle I had to go through. Was like shit I made up in my mind, because like the more of a fucking dumb redneck you are, like the more like really you really hate black people and like listen to Johnny Rebel at like fucking gym class.
Have you ever heard Johnny Rebel? Oof.
Oh, God. We learned about that in gym class and so tacky. But those people that are really dumb are in special classes. And so I can relate with them in that. So they were like, oh, that's Clay from my class. He's cool. And then the other redneck was Casey Price, and he was like kind of funny. And then we were kind of funny. And so we got along. Like, we had it easy.
It was pretty easy in high school. Also, there wasn't like a lot of bullying or weirdness as far as all that stuff goes. And like, we tried to rebel, but.
Yeah, just
there wasn't too much.
It's hard.
There's nothing to rebel against. Yeah. We live in a paradise.
We lived on a place called Pleasure Island. Like,
why was it called that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Named after Pinocchio. Like, is that what the island's called in Pinocchio?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, imagine.
Blue crabs, shrimpers.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. It was
beautiful,
just like,
birds, estuaries.
Oh, estuaries all over
catfish,
the place.
Catfish, mulletfish.
You get in a marine biology class, it's nothing but field trips.
Oh my God, go out there to that bay, that Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, Wolf Bay.
Oh, so beautiful. White
Wolf
sand.
Bay, Little Lagoon, Fish River.
Those white sands are endless.
Yep.
You get out there
about it.
Oh, I know. I used to go to a place called Mash's Sands on the Apalachicola Bay. It's a very special bay. A lot of juvenile fish were bred. Bred in the estuary in that area there. Tupelo honey harvested there. Mm. A lot of mullet fish jumping out of the water.
Yep.
There's a mullet festival not near far from there.
There's
once a year.
There's a mullet festival in Gulf Shores.
Oh, yeah. It's the best fish. It's like catfish, but it's jumping.
There's a mullet toss.
Mullet
you
toss.
Ever heard about that?
I haven't, no.
Mullet toss is a huge party. Thousands of people go. The whole island goes onto the beach and where you see how far you can throw a mullet.
God. Man,
plain
there's some
and
fucking.
Simple. It's just simple.
There's some southern shit that just really. Okay, wait. What else is it? That's it. But how does? There's no. What else? There's like something else you do? Nope.
You chuck the motherfucker. Just throw it.
Just chuck it as far as you can. Whoever throws it far as they get to eat it.
They get to eat it.
Hey, you can eat yours too if you didn't throw it far enough.
Well, we drink for 48 hours leading up to it. And then we continue to drink 48 hours afterwards. And then, it's pretty much how much we're always drinking. It's just more, a little more, get good beer for the mullet toss.
Yep.
Gotta get real high.
Oh, God. Yeah. That was the best. That was, like, there's so much adult activity going on Gulf Shores and so much, like, kids just by themselves. Their parents are too drunk. Like, none of our, every one of our friends' parents has had a substance abuse problem at some point. Yeah,
that's
pretty
crazy.
Much.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Your parents did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's just what the town is built on, because a lot of it, all of us, all of my friends and like Went included, was born in Birmingham, Alabama, or somewhere up there. They were the black sheep of their families, and then they came down to the beach to hang out and do...
To get away from their families.
To get away from their families.
To party.
So
to
our,
party, basically.
Our home, Pleasure Island, like Gulf Shores, is basically all the black sheeps of every family in the Southeast moves there to get away from their family.
Or that's what our experience was.
No, right? It's... I mean, for the most part, that's what it is. Like, every one of our friends, they like ran away, or their mom or dad kind of bailed, or... You know what I mean? And... So it's created like a cool kind of somewhat forward-thinking hippie kind of.
Yeah, it's a parrot head type of
place.
Yeah,
like Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
Jimmy Buffett was like God, yeah.
God, yes. It's like it's peaceful and slightly progressive, but while also retaining some backward stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
Some super backward stuff. There was, I just remembered the other day, the most fucked up thing, which was when we were seniors in high school, there was a new Walmart that was built, and there was this huge controversy. Nobody wanted a Walmart. And it ended up happening. And like 6 months into it being built, there was this news story about this man who would walk. He would walk around Walmart jerking off, and then wait for a kid to turn the corner and then come on the kid.
What the fuck?
Okay, surprise, that has nothing to do with the type of people that come.
No,
down,
but
to
that's just
stores.
Some fucked up, that's weird,
some
shit
fucked up shit. You remember? Kids. But that happens everywhere. Everyone has a nut.
No, I don't think that happens everywhere.
Everyone has a nut in their town.
Everyone has someone busting a nut in the Walmart in their town. Oh, God. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm trying some other weird backwards shit.
But your mom was, she was, I don't want to say a rebel rouser, but she used to party.
Yeah, she's wild.
Didn't she, like, date?
She dated. I mean, most recently, she dated Howard Scott from War.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a weird...
Which was cool for me and Clay, because Howard had a, like, political message. And
so we were, how old were you then?
I think we were in ninth grade.
Oh, wow. That must be really cool.
And this
yeah.
is, like, I wrote Pledge Now at the time, and I also wrote a song called Canada, where if the war is going to happen, I was going to flee up to Canada. I was going to fight no war for nobody.
Yeah, yeah. And Howard saw us have band practice once. He was staying with my mom and recording, like, this... EP with her and
with your mom.
Yeah,
his mom was a singer, right?
Yeah, she's a singer, flautist, pianist, mm-hmm. guitarist. She played guitar, but anyway, Howard was like super stoked on our political message.
Nice,
and I remember told me and Clay like, "Dang, you just gotta keep going in that direction."
Yeah, he stopped me and like told me like,
"Yeah,
he was super into my Canada song."
Yeah,
wow.
But my mom was a cool musician in the late 70s. She was always a musician.
But she would always tell stories that are fucking insane. Like,
yeah.
She was like in Aspen or somewhere in Colorado.
She would tell stories with like this crazy ending always. And they would always go something like this. Like, she'd go, I'd watch a movie that was about this person. And I'd be like, she'd see that I was watching it. And she'd pause the movie and be like, 1979, I was riding in my car with my twin sister in Aspen, Colorado, and there was ice on the road, and we got in a terrible car accident, and we were all bruised and beaten up, walking to a hospital, and a red convertible speeds by us, and then skirts on its brakes, and turns back around, and a man gets out, and he's wearing two different colored Converses and suspenders and glasses, and he puts us in his car, takes us to the hospital, takes us back to his house where he has two African princesses feeding us for a week. And they were doing drugs, but we weren't, which is something she'd always say. Yeah. And then do you know who that man was? And I know, and she goes, that was Hunter S. Thompson. Like, she'd always reveal who it was at the very end.
That sounds like a good...
Yeah,
that was
cool.
That's a true story of hers?
Yeah, she has stories like that with David Bowie.
Jesus.
And Steve Martin.
She played for... She was like one of the Wailers, right?
She sang backup for the Wailers when she lived in Jamaica.
Well, your mom lived in Jamaica for a period of time?
Mm-hmm.
How long?
I think like a year. Yeah, but... And she was in a band with her twin sister called Sin Twister.
Sin Twister.
But,
gosh.
Anyway, then she had kids, and her first husband owned a club in Aspen, and then I think one in West Palm Beach, Florida, and they... kind of, she would play it all the time and open for all these cool bands and kind of make music relationships that way. But like, she has cool stories about the Cars.
Rico Kasich?
Yeah.
I think this is not true, but there's a great piece of lore that Rico Kasich and David Lynch were college roommates, and that everyone thought that Rico Kasich was the weird one.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Would that be like Philadelphia? Or?
I don't know. I don't think it's true. I think that's not true. It sounds too good to be true, right?
I don't know, man. I could see in college David Lynch fitting right in and like...
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like,
well, Rico Kasich is definitely like one of the creepiest motherfuckers alive. Like that guy...
I'm trying to think of like... I'm trying
skull.
To think of like... I don't know. I know maybe... I feel like David Lynch was like Philadelphia and then he went to the AFI school in Los Angeles.
But he's from Montana.
Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know where he started.
I don't know either. I don't know exact biography either.
I just don't feel like he would cross paths.
Yeah, I don't think it's true. But it sounds cool, right?
Yeah, my ex-coworker's girlfriend was David Lynch's assistant. I think she still is. And she's like, he's super cool.
Oh, he's the coolest. Remember when we first moved out here, he would do the weather report for
on Indy 103.
That was awesome. Yeah.
The weather is good. Lots of clouds. They're moving to the west. Little wind. 80 degrees.
It'll be okay.
Beautiful day to eat an ice cream cone. Always been like that. So simple. God, someone should put out a record of just all, you know, the best of David Lynch's weather. Yeah. I would buy that. Buy a record.
I'd buy a record of that. Best of 103. That
and
was
just
a,
Jonesy's yeah. jukebox.
That was a gym.
It was a gym. I didn't realize it until after it was gone how great it was.
Yeah.
Because I would like pop on and like they would have like, I would listen to like death metal at night for like, yeah. there's like, I think it was called Full Metal Jackie. Yeah. At a show or something. Mm-hmm. It's just a fucking great channel.
It was good. There's a lot. Station. There's pretty much. There's only a few stations like that left in America, I think.
I was in Bakersfield, and what I like to do when I leave like LA, I like to like surf the AM like totally. Stations just to find anything weird. They have I just like changed it. I heard like Nate Bargatze on really? Like they have a comedy channel on like.
In Bakersfield.
Bakersfield. So there's weird stuff God. Still going on in other places. I don't know. That's. Not that weird, but
it's happened.
For
the radio.
Now, after like,
yeah, I think the radio will stick around. I mean, as much as everything else is available, there's something about the radio that makes you feel like you're connected to the person. Because I always feel that way when I'm driving or something. When I listen to a CD or a song or something like that, it's not the radio. It's nice, but it doesn't have this. There's not this. There's like it lacks any kind of novelty in the sense of
yeah,
where.
Yeah, I mean it's like everything. I mean,
yeah, you don't.
It's
know
like
what's
why people
happen.
Buy records because I have every song ever on my phone through Spotify, right. but I still want to like go find records and I can watch any TV show I want, but yeah. I still like to like tune in and right. feel like I'm a part of something.
Yeah, you're a part of something because it is. It's like a thing where even if just two other people are also listening. They're listening to the thing at the same time so that someone else somewhere is experiencing the exact same thing as you are at the same time. And even though it's mundane,
right.
it's still something where there's like it's an inherent connectivity that you can't, it's an undeniable connectivity that is, it's pretty, feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially when you hear something really cool on the radio.
Right. Like,
remember that back in the day when, like, before. I hear something cool. Like, what the fuck is this?
When
it's
I'm
so
like
cool.
On Alt 98 and I hear Sunday Morning by No Doubt, like freak out.
Sunday Morning. On a Sunday.
I've met two people recently in LA that were in at the same show that I was at in like 2002 in Birmingham.
What show?
This one was in Atlanta. It was a Bane.
Oh, Bane concert.
I just met somebody just now. Earlier today, that was at that same really? Concert that same night. Just kind of bizarre to think
Speaking
about.
Speaking of Atlanta.
I bet we have some crossover, maybe.
Totally.
Maybe we're at that pita place while we're skating the Tallahassee skate park.
Yeah.
Pocket Sandwich Emporium.
Because we would go to Tallahassee all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
They used to have tons of punk bands. Like the, mm-hmm. I didn't go there. I only went there one time and saw, Jesus Christ, this is such like a nostalgia trip. I can't remember what band it was. Cerebral Shoal. It's like sort of a kind of a crust hippie. I don't know how to describe it. Like a not a jam band. It was a psychedelic band.
Oh, nice.
Hippie.
We would
based.
Go to that would Beta not, Bar.
Yeah. Beta Bar
and Big Daddy's.
It used to be the Cow House before it was the Beta Bar, but it was the Beta Bar when I was there. So
must have been like.
Oh, we must have. We had to cross some paths.
Unless you were going to an Every Time I Die show, I don't think.
Oh
we
yeah.
yeah I didn't. Oh my God! I definitely announced them on the radio a bunch. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with Clay Tatum and Whit Alexander Thomas Packard of themselves.
And them.
Them. Uh-huh. Them punks with an X dot
tribal.com.
Also, Stone Quackers.
Yes.
The yep. animated television show.
Don't forget 2 Foot Nothing.
Also, 2 Foot Nothing, the original band. Also, Power Violence LA, also known as Power Violence, the weekly Sunday night comedy show that's the best.
Oh, pal. Thank
so it's,
you.
It's why you visit. Okay, we'll be back.
You're listening to Twisting the Wind. You're still listening to Twisting the Wind. Thank you for subscribing, rating and reviewing and donating and shopping on the Amazon portal to get us 1% cash back. Hey, Jack. Da, 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 da.
wish we had headphones on. It would be easier to harmonize.
You guys able to harmonize? You guys?
No.
You can't?
I can do this.
So
harmonize.
For just a little. You can't harmonize? You saying soup? Is that a vocal technique, saying soup?
No, that's just what I always do. In the audience, next time you're on stage, listen to me. Because when you walk onto stage or walk off, I go, soup, be soup.
What's another one?
Huh?
Don't you have another thing where you go, you made Bud say it one time?
Soup, soup.
I
don't know, it's soupy soup.
And we're back.
Oh, sorry.
Churler Durler.
Oh, Churler Durler. That's what
Churler
Durler.
What's that?
Churler Durler.
Is that I don't know. Jack Nicholson thing? Saying on stage, when I see somebody who's like cool in the audience, mm-hmm. I go, dude, you're a Churler Durler. This guy right here is a Churler Durler of the night.
Churler Durler.
Feels good.
Sometimes, I don't know if you're ever on stage and you like look out in the audience and you see one person who is a perfect audience member. And you're like, I could spend the rest of my life with that person in the audience there.
Yeah.
It's usually a metalhead-looking dude who has, like, camo shorts on.
Someone
for me.
Who's down.
Yeah, somebody who's just, like, down and seems fun. That's a churler durler.
Churler durler. I've never seen it.
So we're talking about some different stuff. You're talking about your mom and the crazy shit she got into.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't even talked about the thing that me and you have in common, is rare.
Let's you talk about it.
So I can tell me problems.
Yeah.
I had a shitload of
You have a lot of health problems.
I have so fucking much.
When did it start?
Sorry, when I was like right out of the gates.
What do you
man.
Mean?
I came out of
Mama's
the gates.
Gate?
Well, you see my left ear here? Yeah. How it's like kind of fucking weird?
I guess so.
That was like problem number one.
Doesn't seem that weird, but I guess
my
it
left
is.
Ear
you say so. Okay.
But the right
ear,
that
one
you can
looks
see the
different.
Differences.
Those look different.
So I was born with my arm up, like I was raising my hand in my mom's womb.
Okay.
And so it fucked up the development of my left ear.
Okay.
So that's the fucking first thing. Also fucked up my ear a little bit. I've had tubes in my ears like 20 times.
Is it because of what? Is it because the ears don't...
I have a decaying eardrum.
Okay.
So like that's just a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. Oops. And it might have something to do with my nose. I can't breathe out of my nose. It's a damn shame.
Not at all.
I can like a little bit.
Like
but
a little whistle.
Not...
So you're like Todd Berry.
Does he have that?
No, I don't know. Todd, I just always say that because I feel like whenever I hear Todd Berry, I always hear him because he always exhales out his nose to punctuate a joke. And it works because he's one of the most hilarious comedians ever to live, I feel like. Like, I'll watch him tell a joke about buttering corn and people are fucking dying.
Yeah.
He's that thing where he does a thing where he goes at the end of a joke.
Corn.
It's like
but
a
his,
weird
like,
thing.
CDs are so, like... You get every single mouth noise and like, like they
really
crank up that mic.
Yeah,
because that was my first comedy CD was Medium Energy.
Was Todd Berry?
Yeah.
Well, he's such a low guy. He has to crank that up.
Yeah.
So you can do a Todd Berry thing with your nose, obviously.
I can do that, but that's like.
But what is that? What's happening there?
So what happened? My nose is a fucking mystery. I've been to so many doctors, and they can't figure what they can't crack the code.
What do you
they
mean?
Just don't know because they thought it was allergies. They thought it was a deviated
septum. Is it inflamed?
I guess it's inflamed.
It's inflamed
due to allergies, but that's not really the case. Mm-hmm. They had something. They said something about nose spurs, which to this day I don't know what the fuck
nose
they're talking
spurs.
About. Yeah,
did you look
there's
them up?
I had an operation another like a year ago where they cut something. Down, they thought something. I don't know. Like cut out some fat in my nose. That didn't do a damn thing.
Got a fat nose.
Shit.
And they're saying the problems in my ears are because my nose not giving enough airflow.
Well, they're connected,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're connected through a series of tubes.
And I've also had diarrhea since I was a one.
Since you were one?
Yeah.
Like diarrhea every day.
He yeah,
poops
every
more
day.
Than he pees.
Right.
Well, I poop just like I pee.
Yeah.
It's
I've had so many times where I was staying at a friend's house and I wanted to like take a poop, so I like run the sink.
Yep,
because the fucking same sound.
When me and Clay used to live together, and we lived with a newer, he's an old friend, but a newer roommate named Brock, and Clay would take a poop in the bathroom and just go, and then the noise would stop, and Clay would go. Sorry.
Now I just don't care. It's just great. I can just
do you fart
anywhere. All the goddamn time.
So you do
time.
Fart, okay. That's good. I can't really fart. I do fart, but I fart while I'm pooping. So I don't get to enjoy it. Except for occasionally an early morning laying on my stomach, I'll blast a trumpet into the air. And it was some, I had a trumpet blast recently that was, I mean, this is a word that I don't like to use because I think it's overused. But when I say it right now, I mean it. Mm-hmm. This trumpet blast was epic.
That's right.
It was a...
Those are great. Mine are like these.
What the fuck was that?
No, they're it's thick. Like, they're thick.
It's like
it sounds like a dog trying to say a word.
I hold it up and then I just let it ride.
It was like a, it's like a punch.
It's like a car wreck.
It's like a pop. A
yeah,
puff.
I fart all the time. I have diarrhea all the time. If I eat popcorn, I'll randomly shit.
What do you mean randomly shit?
When I eat popcorn, a weird thing happens where like when I my body tells me I have to shit and I don't have to shit, and then I have to shit, my body doesn't tell me.
Oh, so you shit your pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. It's like you don't shit your pants, but farting is like Russian roulette at that point.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
how why popcorn, you think?
I have no idea. They thought it was chocolate, too. When I was little, they thought chocolate would do the same thing.
So have you done all the whole allergy reduction stuff, tried not eating this, not eating that?
I've done everything.
Have you ever tried subsiding on peanut butter and jelly, or peanut butter sandwiches, bananas, and, like, coconut milk? You ever tried that?
Mm-mm. I heard bananas is great.
Bananas are great. Pectin.
I do fiber gummies.
Fiber gummies, okay.
I can't, like, I have to have, like, candy in order to, like...
To live?
Yeah, so I've done fiber gummies, so it makes me get pretty thick, but...
Wait, with the poo-poo?
Yep.
Oh, so it's like a thick porridge.
Yeah, it ran...
So you've never seen a log, have you?
Have you ever logged? No, I've seen a log all... I've seen
When's
log...
the last time you logged?
I actually logged recently.
No way!
Because it's the fiber gummies, I'm telling you.
But
about.
You're creating a
so
log?
Like, what,
like
what
a
happens,
dog log?
What happens with a normal guy, he eats food, the food turns into a log, and you poop out that log.
Yeah.
What happens with me is I eat food, it turns into diarrhea instantly, and then I poop the diarrhea.
Right.
Or I eat food, turns into diarrhea. I take fiber gummies, the fiber gummies go down there and go,
hey, let's put this back
what
together.
What the heck are we going to do with all this diarrhea? Come on, pal, let's try and glue this thing together. And they glue it together.
With fiber.
Sometimes they do a good job gluing it together, and I go, great job, guys. You really put in the work. But sometimes it comes out like a... Like an unfinished painting, you know?
Like a gluey mess.
It's like mud.
Like mud, like porridge.
I'm like...
Well, a nice porridge.
But even then, isn't that better than
it's a lot better.
Water?
So how come you
Because I think
take...
I'm like destroying my stomach by having diarrhea
all the time. You should take fiber all the time then.
Yeah, I do fiber every day now. I do 2 gummies a day.
Maybe you should try it in a way that's not gummies.
Maybe like just like a
no,
cereal.
No, there's no way. I can't like...
Like Cracklin' Old Bran. Get some good whole
foods.
I know,
foods. I need some steel oat.
Spinach.
Steel cut oats.
Spinach is good, yeah.
Yeah, spinach.
Some steel cut oats.
I need that in my life. I need oatmeal. Oatmeal is really good
What's,
for me.
So you don't eat it or you think you
I
need...
I just don't eat it. I just don't. It's like God. School all over again. A lot of things in my life I just don't care mm-hmm. about and I just don't do anything about it.
It's the same reason that Clay is like edits things and messes around in Photoshop and he saves all of his projects in folders as like 1, 2, 3, A, B, 9, 9, 10, 11, X, Z, Y.
So just go,
because he just
fuck,
doesn't give a fuck. And it's like, oh, we need to find that video that from last winter when we were in Big Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's I like, saved it's, as gone. Butt cut,
like, it's gone.
It's gone. How come you don't care?
I don't know. It's just a thing. It pains me to care
really?
About stuff.
But you care about stuff.
Well, I care about a lot of stuff, but like stuff that I don't care about, I straight up just don't do anything about.
I can see Clay a lot of time. I'll be standing behind him when he's editing something for us, and like, I can see him start to go like ZZZ123XX, and then he kind of sees that I'm getting frustrated right. behind him and goes.
Okay. RC_01 of project blah blah blah.
Right.
Saves it into the thing.
All I know is that if I had the ability to create logs, I would do it.
You don't? Do you not log?
I cannot make logs. I logged once. I could have a memory of a log as a child, but the last time I logged was before I was 10 years old.
That makes me so happy.
I haven't
man.
Logged since. I've created micro snakes, which are these snakes that are very small, and they have almost a log consistency, but they are
snakes.
What about
rabbit pellets?
No, I don't do pellets, no.
I do pellets all the time.
Yeah, actually, when I was camping recently, I took a shit. We were hiking, and we hit this massive fucking scary rainstorm. We were off the trail in Yosemite, and we had to wait under the trees for a while as the shit passed, and it was got really cold and scary and kind of fun, though. And eventually we found a nice place to shelter, and we hung out there, dried our clothes, and tried to start a fire. And we also brought a bunch of snacks with us because it was a day hike, and we had some really good manchego cheese. It's a sheep's milk cheese. It was raw sheep's milk cheese.
Like
good. Got a Whole Foods. It's real salty, real thick, real stinky. Had a bunch of slices of that manchego with some high fiber flaxseed chips and maybe something else. And ate probably about an entire cup of blueberries. And then later on that day, after we'd weathered the storm and climbed this peak and come back down, I had probably one of the best shits of my entire life.
Really?
I think it was the combination of the stress, the workout, obviously the raw sheep's milk cheese and the blueberries just created this. I mean, it wasn't a log. I'll never have a log. But it was one of those things where if this could be every day, how great would days be?
I feel like that's what people experience. They have a built up of like, they have like built up like all this poop that needs to come out, and they poop and they force it out, and it's just like once they force it out, and then it it goes ka-chunk, and you go, oh man. But with me, it's just like I have a flap, and above the flap is water. And I open up the floodgates, it goes down, give it a shake, put it back,
and then but there's still some water in there. You don't know if you're gonna have to go back in for another round.
I just know I'm not going to be farting for the next 5 minutes, but yeah. I'm going to come in.
Like, do you ever feel like when you shit, you're getting poison out? Like you feel better afterwards? Because it's just like there was poison in your body that was maybe because you drank the night before a bunch and then now it's out?
No, I mean, I just eat poison. Like just garbage. Man, I really respect you with your eating high fiber diets.
I'm not that good.
I feel like you're...
But I can't create a log. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes I'll eat food that I'll eat the best food. I'll have a blueberry breakfast with some yogurt and a bunch of granola, like low sugar, high fiber, good granola for breakfast. I'll have a great lunch of, I don't know, something, again, fibrous and a lot of pectin and all the right things. It doesn't matter. It's still, you still get this terrible, terrible after product. So,
is it really, does it smell chemically? I have that.
Chemically? And what kind of chemical are you talking about? Like sulfur?
Yeah. Well, Clay, but that's because you prefer the synthetic chemical tasting versions of things.
Like what?
That's true.
Maybe that has to do something with why it smells like a chemical.
Yeah. I mean, I like my favorite thing when I was growing up was fucking those sandwiches that they wrapped up in gas stations that like you can taste in the bread. There's like, you can like taste nickel. And, like, yeah.
Or he prefers like Splenda.
I eat Splenda. Splenda has this chemical like burn to it.
Burn, and he says he's gotta have that burn.
It has a chemical burn to it. When you put in hot, like I don't like iced coffee because it's just like drinking fucking water, but like hot coffee has a burn to it, and you put that chemical shit in it, Splenda, and that has another burn to it. This is great. And then I smoke cigarettes, and that has a burn to it.
Yeah, cigarettes are bad.
Yeah, but not bad. Could be bad for pooping.
But you're much healthier, aren't you, Whit?
I'm healthy, yeah. I mean, I have, like, problems. Not health problems like y'all have, but I get, like, migraines. And I'm recently have been... well, I've always been had a really weird sensitivity to SLS, which is in toothpaste. It's sulfuric laurate.
I feel like that's also in dandruff shampoos, or like that's in.
Well,
is
very,
there SLS in shampoo? I don't know.
It's a very popular thing to not have in organic things now. No SLS. No lauryl sulfates.
I've been I've been allergic to it since I was, I think, my whole life. Because as a kid, especially like in my later teens, I'd always get these weird like ulcers all in my mouth. I kind of have one right now. All over my mouth, and it just made like eating anything hell. And smoking cigarettes hell, alcohol hell, And then I went to a dentist when I was 19 or 20, and he's like, yeah, I think you're allergic to SLS. Use this Arm & Hammer toothpaste. It doesn't have it. So I used that for 5 years, and then Arm & Hammer put it in their toothpaste.
Those sneaky little bastards.
And so my mouth for the last year has been fucking awful.
Those fucking CGs.
I had no idea why, and then I read on this blog that was why, and now I have to use, right now I'm using Tom's.
Yeah, do you want me to call up Arm & Hammer and just fucking give it to him?
Give it to him, dude.
I'm going to call him up.
So many people you'd have to give it to just to get up.
But it made like doing stand-up awful.
God.
And, kissing my girlfriend. We've been together now for almost a year, and I just like, for a lot of time, haven't been able to kiss her on the mouth because it hurts too bad. Before I would go on stage, I'd have to put all this numbing shit on my mouth so that I can talk.
Yeah. People who listen to this podcast are going to be shitting and going to be brushing their teeth.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Being like very, it's going to be maybe good and both good and bad. It's good. I like it. It's a neutral line.
Yeah. But I think I have it figured out now. God. I just don't, anything like super acidic in like
sugar's,
liquid form.
Sugar's bad.
Well,
sugar creates acid.
I mean, I shouldn't drink anything, any soda, but I do. And
that's something I don't do.
Yeah.
Soda, just don't care for it.
I drink soda.
But then migraines I've had since I was a kid.
Migraines.
But those are few and far between nowadays.
So what made you guys come out here? Out to LA?
Well, we skated a lot growing up, and then we both hurt ourselves at the same time.
What'd you do?
I broke an ankle right in half.
I broke a knee and an arm.
God.
Yep.
And
thrashing, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shredding. Actually, both of our injuries were very anticlimactic tricks.
Do all skaters do that at one point in time or another? You have to?
No.
Really?
No. Some of them don't ever. Our friend Jeremy's never.
Are you serious?
Hurt himself.
But he's like the most bombastic skater. He like
I know,
fucking.
But he's gotten hit by a car, but he's never like injured himself to where he had to go get surgery.
Also, Jeremy's rubber. Like when he falls, it's like if a cat falls, if the cat's not preparing for the fall, he'll get less hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He never went through an awkward stage with his body either. Like I grew really quick, really fast, to where I was like 6'2" in eighth grade and really skinny. And Clay was like stocky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you ever see me walk, I walk like I'm either the Hulk or like morbidly obese. I do this weird waddle. I can't break it.
Jeremy just grew gradually. It's fine. You know what I mean?
He's the rabbit. A rabbit does not struggle to be a rabbit.
Yeah. So, anyway, we both hurt ourselves, and we went from making like skate videos to just making goofy, dumb videos,
right?
Sketches, whatever we thought they were. And
this is in Alabama still.
Yeah, really liked that a lot. And Clay went to film school, and I came out to L.A. to try to be an actor. And then about a year later, Clay came out.
So the transition from skateboard punk style happened just kind of naturally because you're... I feel like that's the... Because I used to be really into skateboarding. I was into more like the idea of it and the culture of it more than actually skateboarding. But
that's basically what skateboarding is.
Yeah. And I remember watching those 411 videos and how they were... Yeah. They're kind of like comedy videos because they would fuck around and do weird shit. And a lot of times it wasn't about the tricks. It was about the guy and saying something stupid and irreverent.
Yeah, I mean, that's what skateboarding got us into everything. Because skate videos had the music that we learned. I think to answer the earlier question, we got into punk through skate videos. And then comedy through like CKY. And
Jackass.
Like, well, also, I grew up, I was like the only, I had a huge satellite. My dad loves TV, and so we got this huge satellite. And so I got all these weird channels. Like Comedy Central was like not a channel that a lot of my friends had, and so like I would always watch, like Kids in the Hall and like Saturday Night Live, and they would re-air them and shitload of stand up. Yeah. I'm surprised I don't do stand up now because how much.
Clay was way more into it than I was.
Why did you never get into stand up?
He did it actually before.
Well, I did it before Wit. Okay. And I just like I don't know why I didn't.
Don't care.
I didn't pick up on it. Maybe, hey, who knows? But I just never got into it. But I was really into it like, when I was like little.
Right.
I loved watching Tony Woods. He had a Comedy Central Presents special that I really liked.
I can't even know who that is.
Just weird comics, right. And then every I don't know. That's a weird tangent.
But yeah, so you guys got into the comedy thing, and then you started making videos. And
yeah, now, but it took like 4 years of us living here, or four for me, three.
Yeah, I actually came out here because I wanted to be a director. I didn't want to do anything comedy.
Yeah, really? I didn't really want to do any of that either. We were pretty serious, and everything we'd come up with together back then was pretty like, not. It was pretty like. I'm trying to think of an example. Gus Van Santy.
Okay, yeah. So kind of emotional.
Like two friends who are on a journey together. Got you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
we just couldn't help but do like funny things.
And everything would always end up taking like a funny, improvised, creepy turn. And that is like we made two shorts when Clay was in college out here, came to LA and was in school out here. And that were originally not supposed to be funny, but they ended up being kind of funny.
Are they on YouTube?
What are they called? I don't know. Probably. No? I don't like to put any of that stuff up.
No, so one of them's on YouTube, I think. Or
I mean, it's not bad, but
right.
They're not bad. If you can't, they're called Small Elephants and Parker's Letter Home, and they're long. It's like pre-YouTube, so it's like
it's
10 minutes.
Way
long.
Too long, probably.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So like, we started doing that, and then we started Power Violence as a way to play those videos. Mm-hmm. We're like, we'll make a couple videos a month and play them, and through Power Violence started goofing around as a group.
Well, how did you guys meet Rod and Bud?
Just through like Whit worked at a skate shop, and one of the guys there he became friends with, and that guy was named Bobby, and then Bobby lived with us, and then Bobby brought all of his friends, which were Rod and Buddy.
Yeah.
And that's how we got to know
there you go. Rod and Buddy. And PV was born.
Yeah.
But back then it was just the name of a show.
Right.
And then
because it's the type of music.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to do really with the music.
No.
I mean, like even though I listen to punk, I didn't like. I only listen to like Charles Bronson, Spaz were like the only Power Violence bands I listened to. I just thought the name Power Violence was so funny.
Yeah.
It's so overly aggressive. Mm-hmm. To a point where it's absurd. I always loved that name.
So yeah.
That's a great combination. So over the top. Right.
And then when we were hosting Power Violence show, people would call us the Power Violence Boys. And we just were like, we're Power Violence.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boom, bang, bing. And now we're all on Saturday Night Live.
So. Bang, 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 ding, dong.
Bang, bang, bing.
So how is SNL going?
It's going all right. We're that good. Lorne cracks me up all the time.
What
that
is he? Lorne. What's so? What's so funny?
Trying to get us to do more sketches.
Is it that he's so serious? He's funny, or is it like he's funny, funny? You just don't see it when he's on camera.
He's always cracking.
Listen, I feel like he'll just pull me aside, tell me a quick one, and I'll just laugh my ass off all the way home.
Well, he's really like a father figure to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just gives us, I mean, he might not be that funny, but he has really good advice when it comes to, like, industry stuff and who I should sign with and, like, what I should do.
All the deals that I should cut.
All these deals I should cut and, like, what should I do to make my career more funny and better for me.
Lorne Michaels.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah. His name is Lorne. Nobody ever talks about how his name is Lorne.
Yeah.
That's a weird name.
What is that name?
I don't know, man. Lorne.
Some Canadian shit.
Lorne.
Canada.
It's not Lauren. It's just Lorne.
Lorne.
Has there ever been another person of any notoriety named Lorne?
Nope.
Interesting. Just Lorne Michaels.
Pretty sure not.
I should ask him about it.
Yeah, we should ask our boss, Lorne Michaels, about it.
Well, tell him to get in touch with me. I think I'm down. I'm ready for next year. I'll be ready. I'm getting
that's
the,
what
the
we
bullpen.
Did. Because our old roommate, Brooks, was on SNL.
Right.
And he was like, it's awesome out here. I really like New York, and I think this show is actually pretty funny. And I was like, you know, that sounds great, but I really like LA. And he was like, man, no, this show is super funny. You should check it out. And
so we watched
maybe
it.
We watched it. And
we liked it.
I thought it was super funny. And then I emailed Lorne. I got the email from Brooks.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, hey, listen, I'll probably be in New York like in a couple months. If you'd like to show me around the set, I would love to like check it out.
And we're down for cast members.
Well, I didn't say that, but eventually he kind of talked me into it. And I was like, all right, cool, for sure. I'll do like...
And then he asked if he has any buds, and that's when he brought me in.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I told him I'd be okay with being in the
cast. Is Brooks still doing it there, or did he get tired of it?
No, he was like,
he got sick of it.
Yeah,
really?
He's just like, I don't like this anymore. And I think it was because, like, you know.
It was hindering his stand-up
yeah.
potential. Mm. He was like,
and since I don't do stand up, what a fucking perfect place.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. So I'll probably quit next year.
I think I might stop doing stand up and just do characters. Maybe sort of do like the whole Bill Murray thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Murray did a, yeah, he had like a lot of success with like shit like that.
Is who else has had success without doing stand up, but is definitely a comedian?
I'd like to say, probably,
not Steve Martin. He did stand up.
Steve Martin did stand up. Is it Jerry Seinfeld from Seinfeld?
He did stand up.
He did stand up, and that's what the show was about.
Right. But what about someone who's like a Bill Murray type, but isn't Bill Murray?
I know who's like Jerry Seinfeld. Not to get on this again, yeah. but Louis C.K. He has a show.
Yeah, but he's
from stand up.
But the show is about stand up too.
Louis
so.
C.K. is, you know who's he's funny?
Those always fun, always Sunny in Philadelphia guys.
Those guys are, but you don't see him outside of that.
You don't see them outside.
And
you also
much.
Don't see him on stage in stand up. Like yeah, Louis C.K. and Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, who's like doing what Bill Murray did? Chris Farley, but he passed.
Okay, let's not name SNL. Okay. There has to be people outside SNL and outside Kids in the Hall, even though some of those people do stand up, like Jerry Seinfeld, Lucy K.
Kyle Mooney?
Kyle Mooney doesn't Night really... Life. Kyle Mooney's on Saturday Night Live again. Yeah.
And,
rap
and his character Snive. Do stand-up.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know if that counts.
Hey, I could be a first if I really take my...
What about...
If I really buckle up with this SNL thing and really... Do some great characters to get on YouTube.
You should.
Stephen Colbert.
Steve Carell.
I think we're about to name a bunch of Chicago people.
Yeah. Rob Corddry.
Rob Hubel.
Rob Hubel does stand up.
He does?
Yeah. Yeah, he does stand up.
Yeah. I was about to say Paul Scheer does stand up too.
Paul Scheer.
Naming names, guys.
There's people listening to this screaming in their heads right now. They're screaming Louis C.K., but I wish I could be there to tell them that's not Louis C.K. That's stand up comedy. He has a show. That's about stand-up comedy, you idiot. I'm gonna smack you in the head.
Oh. And what the a crackerjack that guy is. Yeah. Whoever, not CK, but whoever's screaming CK, he doesn't get it.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Oh, Scott Thompson?
Scott Thompson, yeah. Nice guy.
I did a show with him the other night.
Really, where?
Three of Clubs.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Dude, he was so funny. He's the best. I think he only does characters live.
Really?
I've never seen
Scott Thompson. Scott.
Bubby Cole. That's the character he did.
Buddy Cole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to consider it, guys. I'm going to consider maybe sort of tapering off stand-up and just
But you'd
doing...
have to still perform live.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Wait, or... you really are?
Yeah, I think I'll just do characters. Because I like doing characters. Jim I've done Sugarman? A lot of characters. Jim Sugarman.
But you have...
The Mud Kid.
I went to that one time.
That?
Gene O'Quinn. Gene O'Quinn, Mud Boy.
Who wants to eat mud?
Oh yeah!
Tried to get me to eat mud, and I did.
That's right. God, that was a real thrown together thing there.
That was funny.
Best characters always come that way.
What else was
it? You gotta get stoned and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to be a character guy when I first started Power Balance.
Yeah, really? Clay was always doing characters.
Yeah, I did one. I did my favorite character. I did was a guy named Ringo. Maybe
Ringo Bango?
Ringo the cell phone comedian.
Yeah, Ringo. I was Ringo the cell phone comedian, and I would go up on stage. I would go, "Hey everyone, listen, I'm Ringo. I do cell phone comedy." And oops, someone's calling me. I grab my phone. I go, "Hello, who is this?" "Oh, it's comedy. Hi, comedy. What would you like to say to the crowd?" "Oh, it's gonna be a funny one tonight." "Yeah, huh? Yeah, huh?" "Do you would you?" Would you have the well, I didn't talk to him. Well, the thing is, the fucked up thing is that I went, "I'm not saying that." And I would just do that for a long time. And then I would just
How
leave
long?
The stage
like
talking
minutes?
On the phone.
Yeah,
5 minutes.
He'd walk to the back of the stage, back to the audience. And talk
you should
to
do
his
it again. I want to see him come
one.
Back.
Also, yeah. My favorite character that Clay ever did was a Halloween costume advice guy.
Oh, Bruce Anderson or something?
Yeah. And you say, "All right, so maybe you don't have a costume plan, but I bet you have a laptop. That's why you carry your laptop with you and be computer man."
I had a long presentation about that. I used to want to be a character guy.
There you go. Start it up again.
Oh, yeah, I'll start
Here it is. Start it up.
Oh, and what else? Jim Grapes.
Jim Grapes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just... Whoa, that was a dumb one. Jim Graves was
fan of
I was a huge fan of skateboarding. Skateboarding is really great.
Oh, boy. I just said stuff that's
crazy. No, that wasn't the thing.
But his thing was that he would have like six things in his hand.
Right.
While I would wear like five jackets and I had like 20 four drinks in my hand.
And he would talk like, about yeah, how much he loved skateboarding. It was
kind of
like Neil Hamburger,
kind of.
And then...
just because I saw that.
My favorite moment of that is... It was first time Nick Rutherford ever did power violence. Mm-hmm. And Clay, I have a video of Clay introducing Nick. And it said, he as Jim Grapes. And he goes, hey, that's it for me. But please welcome to the stage your next comedian, Nick Rutherford. He said Rutherford.
Not even in character. I just thought that's what the name of the guy was.
It might as well be.
Yeah.
Rutherford.
But he had a birthday. You let me ride a moped.
Those are the days.
I missed it.
No, those are days. He had a moped there.
Damn.
Went up to 30.
Oh.
Yeah. A little speed demon.
Dangerous. God. What should people do?
Get in contact with Lorne Michaels. Tell him you love the show.
Contact with our agent, Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels. Yeah. What else?
Cut a deal.
Stone Quackers is a show that eventually will come out. I swear to God, this motherfucker is going to come out.
It's going
to
be great.
It's going to come out. I don't know where it's going to come out.
No, if you search it right now, it
there's
doesn't
nothing gonna,
exist.
Sorry, pal. There's nothing going to come up.
Animation takes forever.
Yeah, but and also come to our show on Sunday nights
in Los Angeles. But check out your YouTube. I'll put all the YouTube links up too for all your videos.
Check out our funny videos.
The best
on
videos, super great videos.
Thank you.
Fell in love instantly. Instagram.
We had a skateboard show called Gleaming the Tube.
That's harder to find.
Hard to find. Really, YouTube. Just don't even bother. Go to claytatum.com. It's a real website. You don't have to go there. I'm actually joking. But if you go there, you can find. Same things we're just telling you about.
Call Buddy Diaz.
Call Buddy Diaz. Number. Let's give his number right now.
Give old Buddy a call.
What should I say to Bud?
Let him know that you're a fan of his. After watching Buddy's video, please let him know that you're a fan of his. His number is 805-215-4282. It's a Buddy, it's me, and I'm a big fan.
Yeah, what the heck, buddyanthonydiaz@gmail.com.
Also, we made a skate video where we at the end we put Buddy's all of his contact information.
You guys are terrible.
Yeah. Nothing happens because no one watches our videos. Stuff. Who cares?
You guys are terrible.
Yeah, we're terrible.
That's terrible.
Clay and Witt, thanks for being here.
Thanks, John.
I'm going to close it down now. Is there anything do you want to make a sound or anything?
Yeesh! Shato, wish you and get out of here, roll the ball.
Good.
The United States government, it is the mission of the National Security Agency to assess and flag citizens of the country who may present a threat to its security. The NSA has clearance to wiretap by any means necessary.
Tapped. Incidental recordings of private conversations from the files of the NSA.
Now on feralaudio.com.